Education Committee meeting called to order. Today's Monday, February 27, 2012. Time is 8:06. Present are Representative Seaton, Representative Peggy Wilson, and myself, Representative Alan Dick. I understand Representative Pruitt is on his way, and Representative Feige will be here after dealing with some budget work. So we don't have a quorum yet, but we do have enough present to for our first order of business. Presentation by Superintendent Mike Bronner, Nome School District. Following that presentation, we'll take up HB 242, dealing with digital learning. Superintendent Bronner, thank you for joining us, sir. Can you hear us?
Yes, Representative Dick, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, sir. Okay. Committee aide Annette Kreitzer will move us through your PowerPoint. If you want to just say next slide when you want to move forward, please introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Well, thank you, Representative Dick. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to get to make the presentation today before the committee. Certainly, it's a privilege to work here in Nome, and it's great to be able to share some of our information with you, and hope as we go through the slides or at the end of the slides, either one, into the presentation, if anyone has any questions, we'll make the effort to answer the questions best we can. And if we need to go and find information so that we can give the best answer possible, be glad to do that and get that back to the committee or to any member of the committee. So as you see, we have our first slide up with our mission statement there attached to that, and we'll go ahead and enter into our next slide, allowing us to take a look at some of our demographics of our school district here in Nome. Now, the demographic information that we're showing is based upon our numbers from last year, the way that the year wrapped up and what is on record. We do have some of our current information has changed a little, but not significantly, so we felt comfortable with going ahead and sharing this information with you. Enrollment at the end of the year was at 667. This year that has increased slightly, but not significant enough to report on at this time. Looking at our demographics, you can see our breakdown, and this information is gathered by allowing the students to and parents to make their own identification as they're reporting this information. You can see the vast majority reported in the Alaska Native column, and then white being the next, and two or more races being our third demographic area, and then our minor breakdown, as you can see there on the slide. Next, on our next slide, we have the district statistics. In Nome, we have five schools we report on. Three of our five schools did make AYP in 2011. Nome Elementary School significantly made AYP in language arts, and that was through the Safe Harbor process. We really feel like that the processes, when we're talking about identifying school systems and looking at achievement, we really feel like when that you can see a significant level of change, which I know that this is not an unfamiliar identification for the committee, but I just think that this is a good opportunity to state how significant we feel that it is. If there is a change where that you are increasing, say perhaps you're not as high a level as you'd like to be, but over the duration of a year you're able to increase by a certain percentage, even though you're not at that high mark that No Child Left Behind is saying that you're supposed to meet, we really feel like that special recognition still should go to, or significant recognition should be given to any school district that's able to change that over the duration of a year. District average attendance, we're happy to say that we have a 91% average attendance. And then as a district-wide, you can see our work in reading, and we continue to work in reading and extend that into our other areas. But as a change from our 2009-2010 school year to a 2010-2011 school year, we did make significant improvements district-wide in the area of reading. We'll move to our next slide. In our next slide, this gives our school configuration. Here you can see that there have been a number of programs put in place in Nome. We've been able to enjoy the pilot pre-K program. We'll have another slide on that showing some of the benefits of that. Nome Elementary School is a K through 6 school. Anvil City Science Academy is a charter school we have here in Nome. We do have a youth facility program, and that provides services, academic services for students in the youth facility, grades 7 through 12. Our high school is a 7 through 12 high school. We have a correspondence school that we call the Extension's Homeschool Program, and that's a K through 12 program. And then you may be familiar with the NACTEC program. That's the career and tech program that we have in partnership with the Bering Strait School District, our neighbor here in the Northern Sound area. Next slide. Looking at our programs at the elementary school, this year is the first year we have implemented a school-wide reading remediation program. It's focused on K through 3. You can see of our 385 students at the elementary school, the K through 3 is well over half of those students. We feel like in our reading efforts, as the committee no doubt is familiar with, the process of helping kids learn to read by the time that they get to third grade is essential, and it really is going to impact the remaining of their academic career. We say that we help students learn to read and focus on helping them learn to read by third grade so then they can read to learn beginning on in fourth grade. So really excited about this remediation program, and we're seeing some positive gains. We use our MAP assessment, Measures of Academic Progress Assessment, out of Northwest Labs. It's a common assessment across the state. Many of the school districts are using it. But we gave an assessment in October. We gave another assessment just here in January, and looking at the progress that has been made, it's exciting. We just had a study of that data Friday, and really glad to see already in a short period of time some of the gains that are being made. Other programs that you can see there, notably, we are very proud here at Nome of our community partnerships. This partnership that allows us to provide a homework club is with Nome Eskimo Community. They help us by sending tutors, and also we have some of our staff who's able to get some time outside of contract hours to also work in that homework club for students who need it. Next slide. This is next slide gives us some information on what has happened with the pre-K pilot program. I want to call your attention first off to an award that the Alaska Head Start Association gave out while we were in Juneau recently for the school board visit, and as we got to meet with many of you there during that time frame. We also had a group there who received this award from the Alaska Head Start Association, and our partnership here in Nome was awarded this 2011 School District Collaboration Award. We're very proud of that and glad to be able to share with the committee that we did receive that as our pre-K program partners with the Coweric organization here in Nome. So very proud of that. But back to the data, we have an assessment of learning, which is called the Dial 3, and on that Dial 3 assessment, you can see that in the fall of 2010, 23% of our students entering kindergarten were at the in the top quartile, and as a direct result of this pilot pre-K program and the academics that we're able to share and give to students who come through our pre-K pilot program, you see that number was increased from 23% in the fall of 2010 to 80% in the spring of 2011. And you notice the bottom quartile, that number of 37% was in the bottom 25%, that they moved or reduced from 37% to 10%. On the next slide, we move into our programs at the high school. Programs at the high school, one of the additions we've made lately is in the area of credit recovery. We have actually had 12 students in our credit recovery program for this year who have already, in this first semester, they're able to gain credits toward graduation. Feel like that is very significant in that, as we all know, we want our students to complete a course of study that ends in a diploma. And credit recovery is one of the very best programs that we can have in place so that we can keep kids on that path towards gaining a diploma. Might just draw your attention also to the bottom of the page, the bottom of this slide, where that we again identify our partnerships. We have a junior ROTC in our high school, and we're able to provide that because of community partnership. We might say that that SB 84 last year, which allowed not only our CTE funding to be maintained where we could maintain positions, but also there was a tax incentive, which we're allowed at the secondary level to extend to business partnerships. Those two items were very significant in helping us to maintain our junior ROTC program. And that program of itself is one of those high-interest programs. It brings a lot of relevancy into the academic program at the secondary level. And we believe that we're able to keep students in school, a significant number of students in school, through such programs as the junior ROTC. And then, of course, another partnership, the Homework Club, has been very successful at our junior high students, 7th and 8th grade, with a community partnership. The community partnership with the junior ROTC is with third organization, CitizenSoc, here in town. On our next slide, back to look at our graduation rates. And what we've done here on this slide is compared graduation rates in Nome to what that you're seeing by demographics across the state. Our language students, you see that we had 100%. In two or more races, you see that we're at 83%, while the state is at 41%. And as you move down, the only place where that Nome did not outperform at the state level or outperform the state was at this bottom area in our male grouping. On our next slide, here we have some comparisons relating to the Alaska Performance Scholarship. There's actually two areas grouped here. In the first two columns to the left, what is being compared, the state Nome, and then the next two columns is talking about the recipients. So percentage eligible at the state and at Nome versus the state recipients or the recipients for the state and Nome. And this is based on a report that has just come out. This data is extracted directly from there and is taken off of the Alaska Performance Scholarship website. So in Nome, or state compared to Nome for percentage of graduates who were eligible, you see that the state had 29% eligible, while Nome was 34%. And then actually, for those who received the scholarship, 36% of the state, of those who were eligible, 36% actually received the scholarship, while in Nome, of those who were eligible for the scholarship, 60% received the scholarship. Hope that's not confusing there. We tried to clarify that. On our next slide, one of our areas of school that we're very proud of is the Anvil City Science Academy. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the programs that are taking place there at Anvil City Science. The Anvil City Science Academy, they work around a science theme. There are four specific themes they work around. So students who come in, there are 44 students in the academy. This is 5th through 8th grade. Students who come through the academy for all 4 years, they will see a different theme each year. So the 1 year, there's one science theme. Next year, a different science theme, all the way for 4 years. This is a project-based instructional program. The teachers there have received the training and very proficient in project-based delivery systems. They do have art and music, which is a fundamental part of the program. The teachers who are there, they also present art and music. These are not outside teachers coming in. We do use computer-based instruction to deliver Spanish for our 8th grade students who This is in addition to, so once that they have completed work, we're able to go ahead and challenge those higher performing students, and they really enjoy taking Spanish, so they're working through that program at this time. And then we have a community service is a big part of what takes place in the Science Academy there, and again, this is the charter school. The current community service program is called ACTION. It's Active Community Teams Involved in Outreach for NOME. The project now, they are working with another item that I'm particularly proud of. There is a park that's being developed down in NOME. This community service group is collecting recyclable items that can be sold, and they're taking the funds that they're raising and making direct donations to the East End Park project here in NOME. So excited about this program. Some of their academics are on the next slide. So this is a three-year SBA school average, and these are the percentage of students who are either proficient or above proficient. You can see we have school years 2008-2009, 2009-2010, and then last year's averages there, and I think that the averages speak for themselves. So glad to be able to point out this element of our school district, and appreciate the achievement that the students are being able to make there in that system, in that part of the school district. On our next slide, we relate to some of our challenges. I'll pull this up, and I tried to mention this when we visited down in Juneau previous with our school board group. Of our challenges, three of the seems like NOME keeps getting on the news some way or another. One of the things that got us in the news was the winter storm back on November 8th when we had some significant damage to our schools and to our facilities. Then the icebreaker brought in fuel for us, and that was also in the news. And that emergency fuel delivery, we're yet to realize the full impact of that fuel delivery. Other than at our gas pumps, when you pull up to the local gas stations, it's obvious that we had fuel brought in a special way. And then January was our coldest month. So with January being our coldest month on record, we are having some economic impacts accompanying that as well. Just to wrap up on the next slide, I do want to say again, and my school board has constantly said this as well, we're trying to make sure that we express our appreciation for all the support that we have received from the state. Notably, SB 84 really helped us maintain areas and programs in the area of CTE, formerly vocational education, and that tax credit, as we mentioned earlier, has helped us as well. And we are, even though we have a unique location here, being in the far north of the state, and as you said, there are some economic challenges or things which you look at, economic challenges that might say, you know, maybe some of this targeted funding would help school districts like NOME. We do want to be consistent in what that we're saying, the message that we're trying to send out, that SB 171, as we're going through our budget and looking at the implications for not only this year but for years to come, funding through such mechanisms as SB 171 would directly help us in classrooms. I noticed that there was a statement that was made previous, or something that I ran across previous, saying that funds through such areas as SB 171 does not go directly into classrooms. And I would just like to say, as we look at our budgets, that it would go directly into classrooms, because mainly staffing is one of the things that you look at first when you see shortfalls in funding, and if staffing is not a direct impact in classrooms, I don't know how to translate it properly. So we just want to, again, ask for support through such mechanisms as that. And that brings me, if that being my last slide, that brings me to the end of my presentation. I wonder if there might be any questions we might be able to build from the committee.
Yeah, thank you, Superintendent. Representative Wilson.
Thank you very much. It's obvious that you've been working very hard and that you're looking at such great improvements. That's wonderful. I'm looking at the numbers of your kids in school, and you've got 667, And you had 385 in the elementary, 44 in the science academy, and 220 in the high school. So that leaves 18 left for those other four areas. Can you tell me how many pre-K students you had, how many are in the Nome Youth Facility, and then homeschooling and the Career and Tech Partnership? And some of those might have overlapped.
Right, and there is. Thank you, Representative Wilson, for bringing that up. In our Extension's homeschool program, we normally average 11 students. We did have a little bit of a gain this year, which is not recorded in this slide. And then our pre-K numbers, unfortunately, we don't get credit for those. So when we come down to the count, which is recorded and reported on such things as the state report card, we don't get credit for the pre-K at this time. So when the pre-K grant came in, that was the sole funding that went towards that group. But in the pre-K, we have two positions, and you're able to have up to 20 kids per class, and so we do have 40. That stays maxed, and actually we have one of our pre-K teachers, the lead teacher, just last week, and she was telling me that we have 40 in class, and we have 40 more who are on the waiting list. So just as she said, you know, if anything, and we were looking at trying to increase or improve what's happening at the elementary school, and we wanted to, you know, really think about where that funding could be directed to help out at another pre-K spot, it looks like, because obviously in the slide that we showed you, the way that we are seeing improvements there for students entering kindergarten, those are tied, we can tie that directly to the pre-K program. At the Nome Youth Facility, that is a 14, we have 14 places there for students who can enter into that, and that is that number fluctuates as students come in and out of the system, and that one is where that we would have had those other six, I believe you said 18, so 11, so the other seven who would have been in that area. Now, NACTEC is interesting in that students who are already in the count at the high school, we do not get to count them again when they go over to NACTEC.
Okay, thank you. One more question.
Okay, one more question. Go ahead.
And the last question is, what grades, if any, do you have the computers or some kind of iPod or iPad?
Okay, we have not been able to enjoy the services of an iPad. We are actively seeking grant funding, and we are talking to some different avenues trying to find some funding where we can bring in the iPads, especially after a report that we just saw from the ASTE conference. AASB reported on this great project taking place in Representative Dick's districts, and some of the feedback we're seeing from the iPads and applications that are teachers are able to use to deliver instruction through those processes are very encouraging. I would really like to see that at my middle grades area, 5th through 8th. What we have is we have computer labs in our schools, and at the elementary school where I have 380 kids, I have one computer lab, and I have a couple of carts of computers which that we're able to bring and teachers can check out and share. And then at the high school, I have two computer labs which also are available.
Okay, thank you
very good. Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your pre-K graph here, I'm presuming those gains were of those kids that went through the pre-K program, but do you have a comparison? It sounds like you had half of the kids in the pre-K program and another 40 that weren't in there. Can you provide us comparisons of the those kids that went through the pre-K program?
Yes,
and
I
those
can. As a
without?
Matter of fact, I have another chart with that on it, and I think it was right here at my fingertips. There are three avenues that kids take as they enter into our kindergarten, and of course there's an assessment that's given at the beginning of the year as those students come in. The assessment that's given is called the developmental profile. That data is also available on the state website, and Representative Seaton, I am looking for that that report that I had handy, and if I could pull that up quickly, I will share that with you. The breakdown of students who that come through our local Head Start program, which I said Head Start, I'm giving you the wrong title, and here in Nome, if you get that crossed up, someone is going to walk up out of the crowd and share that with you quickly. You did make a blunder in your description. We have a preschool program. The Head Start is actually a partnership with our pre-K. So our three groups are, number one, the Head Start program, which is our pre-K, the preschool program, and from our after our preschool program is our group of students who come in without any, just straight from home. I'm trying to get this. Representative, and I apologize. I did not have that right at my fingertips. But if you would give me the opportunity, I would be glad to share that report with you because it is very telling.
And Ms.
Representative Seaton, go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. If you would forward that report to the chairman, he'll distribute it to the committee, and it's really information we need very quickly to be able to have some side-by-side comparison. So I really appreciate that.
We have got it broken down and for what has happened here, and for that being the case, I will be glad to share that. And as I come to, I will be down for the superintendent's fly-in next week, and I will also have copies to hand deliver as well, but I will get that email to you today.
Thank you, but it would be good to have it. We are working on our budgets, and we're looking at programs, and so it would really be good if you could send that by email. We'd like to have that now, and look forward to seeing you when you're down here.
Okay. Thank you. We do need to move on, but I do have a quick question, sir. You're mentioning using maps, and my question of you is if we, if the legislator got rid of the need for the Terra Nova, would that bother you at all?
No, I am one of the districts. I'm one of the districts who, when given the opportunity earlier this year to either take the Terra Nova test or just to depend on the map assessment, I elected to go with the map assessment. We will not be taking the Terra Nova in Nome this year because we are taking the map and we'll have that data to share.
Okay. Yeah, very good. I don't want to take any more committee time, but if you don't mind, I would like to talk with you later about assessment because we are having conversations down here. We want to do what works best for you and what gives us good data, and we're trying to get rid of those things that are just cluttering up your school calendar. So if you don't mind, I might give you a buzz after a bit, and we can have a conversation. Any other quick question from committee? Okay. Superintendent, thank you. Obviously, you're doing many, many things well and a model for the state. You know, a lot of times people talk about, in generalities, about education, and we need to realize that there's some real success stories out there. So this has been a very good presentation. Thank you. Okay, we will turn to... excuse me, go ahead.
...that Representative Seaton's looking for, and I will have that forwarded... I'll have that forwarded to you just as soon as I can get an email address for you. I'll have that in your inbox for you.
Okay. Okay. We'll make sure and get a hold of you and make that connection. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll turn next to HB 242, Public School Funding and Digital Learning. Representative Pruitt, will you move the CS HB 242 version B?
All right, Mr. Chair. I move CS for House Bill 242, 27-LS0845, version B.
And I'll object for explanation of the differences.
Okay. Representative Wilson, how would you like to proceed?
I'll just stay here and go ahead and okay. Explain the changes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing this bill in committee again. I appreciate
it. Sure, and we do have Bob Worker online if you want to ask him to answer any questions for us.
Okay, great. House Bill 242, I'll just kind of go into this again a little bit, establishes a digital learning funding factor in law to assist school districts in implementing the full range of digital technology. Now, you have the new CS before you. We made two changes to the bill based on the comments I heard from the committee last week. Number one, no reporting or accountability for the new funds. So on page 2, line 17, we have added a reporting requirement to provide insight into how the school districts are using their digital learning funds. And then the next issue was using the funds for professional development, because we heard how important it was. If the teachers don't know how to put it into the classroom, then it's not going to do any good. So on page 3, line 14, we explicitly called out professional development of teachers as a use for the funding.
Okay.
So I appreciate all the comments that the committee made last week, and I feel that we have a better product with the changes that we made to this bill. And I urge the committee to move this bill on. And also, Bob Wickery is online to answer any technical questions that we might have.
Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I'd remove my objection to the adoption of the CS, the working document.
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I am, you know, we've received a lot of testimony about digital equipment and all, such as iPods or iPads. And one of the components of that that we've been, that we've heard, or even the one-to-one computers, is that one of the most effective things is if those are checked out to students and they take them home, or they're checked out over the summer. So I would just like to put on the record that in the report that's going to come to us about technology, if we're talking about devices, handheld devices, and laptops, I would like as a component of that report, whether a district checks out the students or whether they're maintained in the classroom. Because I think that that's a component until we request that in the report, and I'm putting it on the record here, so you know we don't need to change the bill. But one of the elements that I would like to see in the in that report is whether those schools checked those out to students, because I think that that's the only way we're going to get a comparison, and when we get the data back on how effective things have been, we need to somehow know whether the checkout, because I know in my school district, I mean, if kids are taking something and they're taking a 45-minute bus ride and they're extending their educational time by 45 right. minutes, that may make a huge right. difference. But mm-hmm. unless we have that as an element of the report, we won't get it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any objections.
Okay. Is there any other objection? Any further objection? If none, the CS is adopted. And Representative Pruitt, I will entertain a motion to move CS HB 242 from committee with this accompanying revised fiscal note.
Okay. Chairman, I move CS for HB 242 version B, dated to 2212 from the House Education Committee with individual recommendations and its accompanying fiscal note.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I will take a...
Did you want to say it? As moved.
It's moved.
As moved. Thank you. We need a brief at ease. Committee back to order, and Representative Wilson.
I really appreciate you passing this bill out of committee, and I want to make the comments as how important this is, because many legislators are saying that we have to see some change in the schools, because and they want to be able to see the change in the classroom. And we are in the digital age right now, so much so that every 2 years things are changing. And so when the schools can have some kind of funding that they can depend on, they will be able to plan and to make those changes, and pretty soon the schools eventually will have the digital contraptions, you might say, that they need in the schools to really make a difference for the kids. And so the professional development of teachers is really a key to allowing the use of technology to transform education for students. And I think that's really important, and so I really appreciate this.
Yeah, I'd like to comment, too. I think there's a creative element, that there's something very creative and inspirational about the iPads and all of the tablets. And I think there's going to be a lot of very creative curriculum development down the road. I think we can maybe come up with some very Alaskan relevant curriculum as a result of this, too. So, okay. With that, Representative Seaton.
Since we're talking about these things, I just wanted to, you know, when we're talking about curriculum development, it seems like, you know, when we heard the reports from Canby, Oregon, presentation at the Associated School Boards, and in our direct conversations with them, it's very interesting that what these individual devices have done is taken curriculum down from, you know, a huge amount, $20,000, down to $16 per classroom for a math program, so that most of the, like I think the example was of an algebra program, and there were a number of those algebra programs, and with the quantity discount, instead of $1.99 per curriculum for device, it goes to 99 cents per device. So all of a sudden we have teachers being able to not have to have exactly a uniform curriculum across, but what works for their teaching style and their in their classroom with their kids. So instead of trying to have little cookie cutter classrooms that all teach exactly the same, the standards have to be met, the information needs to be met, but what works best with those students in that classroom with that teacher's teaching style is now accessible. And one of the things that was very interesting is that Canby, Oregon actually has a thing where the iTunes account, which is where you get the apps, are actually chosen by the individual teacher. They have their own account, and they can, you know, it's a limited account, but they can order several different things per year for their classrooms, which works for their teaching style. So I thought, you know, if the listening public is out there, we talk about curriculum. Everybody knows, you know, how much textbooks cost, and then they're out of date pretty soon. In this way, for $16 a classroom, things are updated in a, but specifically so it works with the students in that class and the teacher. So I think that that's very important, that the public understand that it's not just a different kind of electronic textbook. You know, it's a whole different method of being able to access curriculum.
Thank you. I will comment, too, that I just learned that the of the 10 most desired college careers, majors, that developing gaming and apps is in the top 10 of the major career aspirations for college careers, for people wanting a four-year degree in developing games and apps. So I think we've... it's pretty exciting what's about to happen here. So, anything else? Representative Pruitt?
Nope.
Okay. Forget to mention Representative Pruitt here. Okay. Just a reminder, Amendment HB 330, State Education Standards, and HB 256, State Intervention and Restoration of Schools, are due in my office today. So any amendments, suggestions? So they can be distributed to all committee members in the department. Is there any further discussion, committee members? Okay, Wednesday, February 29, 8 a.m. in this room, we will hear superintendent presentation from Valdez School District, then HB 330, State Education Standards, and HB 272, Student Loan Interest Reductions. And with no further business before us at this time, we're adjourned at, 8:45?
8:45.
We set a record.
Ooh.